Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce to you, we got a special guest today. He's a regular on the show. He's extremely busy traveling the country, educating officers and police leaders all over the place. Attorney Anthony Bandiero. He's also the founder of Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. You guys hear us talking a lot about Blue the Gold and search and seizure experts. I'll tell you, this is the guy right here. He started it all. So welcome to the show, Attorney Anthony Bandiero. How you feeling today, Anthony?
Awesome. Amazing.
Awesome. I love the backdrop. And look, for the audio listeners, they probably can't appreciate the, can I even say this on a live show? We're broadcasting live, but they can't see it. I mean, yeah. Last time we did a show, he held up a firearm during a live stream and got the show kicked off of YouTube for the day. But no, the backdrop. It's pretty impressive. Is there a saw? Is there a saw back there somewhere?
No, there's no saw.
All right. I just had to ask.
Yeah. That's indescript. You know, things that go, that make loud noises, a lot of things that make a lot of noise in the back on my backdrop. That's how we describe, those items, to keep, YouTube off our back.
Okay. Yeah. He's got a wish list for the Second Amendment.
There you go.
Lover. Yep. So there you go. So,
yep.
All right. Well, look, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. I got a beautiful banner behind my back there. We also have Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're now on satellite radio. This is the wrapping up our second week on satellite. Also, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, attorney Anthony Bandiero's company. Also, mymedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, right now we're streaming to about 1.5 million people. Also, Two Bells. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping making the show happen. So what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Let me whet the appetite, set the stage. We've got rapidly antitrust Lincoln Project post biggest self-own for the past 163 years. We are talking about habeas corpus and the judges that are coming after Trump, telling him that he needs to do things differently for all these millions of illegals that are over here. We're going to be talking about that for our first story. And also, we got Florida deputy sheriff gets federal prison time for a brutal handcuffing assault and a cover-up. And I really think the cover-up was worse than the assault, but this is what we're going to be talking about, our second story. We got a man fatally shot by Albuquerque police officer when he raises a gun at officers during a welfare check. And because we got attorney Anthony Bandiero on the show, and because we had another kind of like a welfare kind of a check squatting call, we're going to be talking about the right to do these things, these welfare Absolutely. Checks and the limits are and stuff. I think it's a great opportunity. Good segue. We got body cam surveillance video showing the shooting that killed a suspect who stole a mail truck and a water taxi. And then we've got arbitrator orders the reinstatement of an organ, a probation officer who was fired over Nazi salutes. And it was these guys, you know, joking around, bantering back and forth, but it's interesting. Then we have body cam footage released after Madison County deputy shoots an armed man. And then finally, there's two more. Belmont officer charged with rape. He had a 2017 domestic violence arrest. Oh, and did I mention he had a work permit because he was not a U.S. citizen? And then we got Bridgeport police releasing body cam showing an officer shooting and killing an armed man. So we'll get through these, assuming that we have time. We got roughly a little over 8 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So let's go ahead and you know what, guys, on the live show today, let's go ahead and do a $50 Gulls gift card giveaway. It's a free $50 Gulls gift card giveaway. It's a digital card, which means I can email it to you at the end of the show. So if you're on the stream, and you know what, we're going to be coming up with a new system to where you can simply enter contests by emailing, and we'll go in and pull from your email address. But for right now, today's contest, if you have not won a Gulls gift card in 60 days, all you have to do on the stream is type in the word Gulls, G-A-L-L-S. Give us your email address, and I'll be able to get that to you at the end of the show. It's a great opportunity to, it's a great way to start off the weekend, don't you think, Anthony?
100%. I love free money, especially Gulls. Yeah. Gulls is a good company.
Yeah, they're a class act. So RVM News, which stands for RedVoiceMediaNews.com, rapidly antitrust Lincoln Project posts biggest self-own of the past 163 years. So the Trump administration, they're considering the suspension of habeas corpus for certain individuals, note that I said certain, detained on immigration enforcement operations, according to the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller. And I am a big fan of Stephen Miller. Now, speaking to reporters, Miller confirmed that the administration is actively looking at constitutional or this constitutional provision. It allows for the suspension of the writ in specific limited circumstances. So they are, according to him, following the rule of law. But he said, well, the Constitution is clear, and that, of course, is the supreme law of the land, that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus can be suspended, in a time of invasion. And so my first question that I'm wondering now, is it a, you know, a lot of people say everybody, all especially the libs and the Democrats are screaming, you know, it's a right, they have the right to do this. But is it, my first question, Anthony, would be, is it compared to a right and a privilege, how would you define it based on, we're talking about illegals?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, first of all, what is habeas corpus? I think a lot of people have definitely heard the term, but it means in Latin, bring me the body, right? So it's just, it is this authority, this right. It is a right for the person to, whether or not illegals have it, but it's a right of a person to challenge their confinement, right? It goes back, you know, kind of maybe to the Magna Carta, maybe before then. But the point is, that's what it means. And it can be suspended for an invasion. Now, I think the two legal questions that I have in my head, and this is not my forte, but as an attorney, my first thing is, does habeas corpus even apply to people who are not here legally? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to them, right? But yet the First Amendment does. So, you know, look, so we have those issues. That's good for point. Lawyers to, right, to kind of figure out, like, you know, not everything in the Constitution applies to everybody, right? People have been convicted of felonies, lose some rights and so forth. Now, so that's the first question. I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I think that, you know, Congress has set out a statutory scheme to handle people and what their confinement situation is under federal law, right? Stephen Miller also talked about the judges actually don't really have a lot of authority when it comes to immigration issues. It's actually, there's immigration courts. The second thing is, it can be suspended for an invasion. I think let me just share with you what the definition of an invasion is, and then maybe people can kind of come up their own conclusion. I mean, from Black's Law Dictionary, this is kind of like the go-to for what lawyers use for statutory or for terms of art. It says a military, one definition is a military force's hostile entry into a country or territory. Now, I'm not sure that applies. I mean, I'm not sure the immigrants are considered a military force, but it also says an intrusion or unwelcome incursion of some kind, especially hostile or forcible, encroaching on another person's rights and so forth. And also talk again, like affecting enjoyment of property and so forth. What do you think, Chip? Do you think that millions of people coming across the border can be considered a invasion under, you know, that brief definition I gave?
Well, I tell you, I think components of those could meet the definition easily, but blanketly, you know, I tell you, the two things that stick out is number one, obviously everybody coming over, it's illegal, but it doesn't, we're talking about invasion. So those are two invasion, different things. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that some of these people were solicited, essentially, to come here. Even though it was technically illegal, they were solicited by the Biden administration, mm-hmm. and even flown when that was getting bad optics. They were even flying them in the middle of the night from other countries on planes. So look, I mean, I want to be able to tell you that, yeah, it's an invasion, you know, but I mean, but in all with detaching and trying to be fair, those components bother me. I think it kind of weakens, I think it kind of weakens the argument, but certainly a lot of the people over, a lot of these people are, have ill intentions and ill will. And you talk about in infringing on the rights of others and stuff and part of the definition. And I think that those clearly are met.
Do you think the other thing, and we can move on, but the other thing is that, I think a component here is when you think of an invasion, you do think about another government entity doing it to your nation, right? If you have a family of five coming across the border, look, we can't call that an invasion, okay? That's an illegal border crossing. However, there's probably a lot of proof that the Mexican government has been complicit or if not condoning, encouraging the crossings for the last 4 years during Biden. And I'm just saying, like, if you can make the right argument, maybe you can make the argument that because of Mexico's either explicit or, you know, approval, or that they actually kind of condoned this invasion and actually it is backed up by a foreign nation. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, I mean, Well, I was just going to say, interesting point, because you're right. There have been times where we've asked them to keep the illegal immigrants on their side of the border, which Correct. They have refused to do. We've requested them to institutionalize them, temporarily. They've refused mm-hmm. to do that. And then, of course, they're not all Mexican nationals. They've allowed people from other countries to go through their country in order to facilitate getting to the United States. And they have purged their prison system as well. So I think that strengthens the argument of the invasion.
And here's I'm Miller, if you're listening, I think the argument can be made. Again, I'm a pea brain here. This is not my, but the argument can be made cogently, I believe, that this is a constructive invasion, that various governments within Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and so forth have constructively invaded our country. And whether it's a conspiracy or whatever, that is, if you look at the big picture, it is an invasion of millions of people.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and maybe the White House agrees.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep watching this, but look, we want things to be fair, but also, everybody's aware of the can of worms that's opened up because of this. It's just crazy right now. We shouldn't have to be dealing with this mess. Unfortunately, we are.
Absolutely.
And that's not even bringing up the fact that all the people are getting raped and killed, and the DUIs and the crime. It's just crazy right now.
It is. So, and money. I'm sorry. You know, fiscally, yeah. I care about that too. I pay a lot of money in taxes. That's a good problem to have, I guess, in many ways. But I know a lot of my money that I'm paying is completely wasted on stuff like this.
Yeah. You know, I'm paying $2,400 a month in healthcare, not because of any condition. That's just the regular rate. And I have no kids. But if I was illegal, I'd be getting free healthcare. I'd be getting stipends, credit cards, phones. Yep. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. So, but we are coming up on our first break, guys. So look, we're going to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from just about any place we want to, right? But especially online. And I want to remind everybody the importance of supporting companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And look, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. And when you're looking for gear, I encourage you to sponsor our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And look, for the loyal listeners of the show, they're giving you a free radio code to get 15% off. So think about that. All you have to do is type in radio 15. That's radio 15. You get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 31st at Gauls.com. And hey, they have gift cards. We're giving away one today, but hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. Again, Gauls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. I'll tell you, the commercial break banter is really starting early today with attorney Anthony Bandiero. So, but we've been talking about basically dealing with the illegals and what the Trump's administration strategy is, and whether, you know, an invasion versus other options for the millions of people that are coming over here illegally. You know, my wife's family is from Colombia, and they came over here legally. So we're all about immigration. I think I speak for Anthony too, but for legal immigration, and what an insult it is for people that are coming over here the right way, or trying to, that are in that waiting line. And then you got people illegally coming over doing it the wrong way. It's just a slap in the face. So,
well Chip, I speak on behalf of the president of the United States. His wife is an immigrant.
Oh, well, you're right. Yeah. Melania. Certainly. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
She came over the right way. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, he's not anti-immigrant.
No, definitely not.
In that sense. Nope.
Well, guys, are you ready to move on to our first update article?
Let's move on, my friend.
All right. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Florida deputy sheriff gets federal prison time for brutal handcuffed assault and for the cover-up. So, you know, guys, they always say in law enforcement, and actually Anthony Bandiero was a former officer, and he's got a decent law enforcement experience. And then he founded Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. And he's still in the law enforcement space. Don't let him fool you. But this former Florida deputy, he's been sentenced to 33 months in federal prison, not state, but federal, for violating individual civil rights and obstructing justice charge. And of course, you know, the feds are pretty famous for going the civil rights route on these charges. The sentencing handed down by the United States District Judge Sherry Capel follows a guilty verdict reached by a federal jury on February 7th of 2025. So according to court documents, on July the 4th of 2023, Tyler Williams, 30 years old. He served as a sheriff deputy with the Henry County Sheriff's Office, deprived the individual of their civil rights. He threw a handcuffed individual to the ground, caused the person to lose consciousness, according to the Department of Justice. Now, following the incident, Williams obstructed justice, they say, by writing a false incident report that stated a fabricated justification for his use of force, and that would be a problem. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, so the FBI, the Tampa Field Office, investigated the case, and Assistant United States Attorneys Patrick Darcy and Jesus Casas prosecuted the case. And I was going to say earlier, you know, they say that, you know, as a cop, you can do it. There's a lot of things you can do and get away with, but when you, you know, when you start lying, and falsifying information, you run the risk of not only losing your job, but you can get your certification yanked, never be a cop, at least in that state anywhere. Again, it should be really nationwide. But what do you think, Anthony?
No, 100%. So there's a saying, you lie, you die, or at least your career is dead, right? And you can also lose your freedom. So this case was, I think, brought under 18 U.S. Code 242. It's a federal indictment for the word is willfully violating a person's rights. Civil rights. It's been around for many a moon. It came after the Civil War to go after people that were violating the newly freed slaves, their rights, and so forth. It's seldomly used, and the reason why is because it is hard to prove willful. But in this day and age, a lot of things are recorded. Of course, you got the body cam, you have the report, you have And so the point, it's the DOJ is bringing, you know, relatively more of these cases because they have more evidence to prove that willful, because, you know, a lot of cops, I mean, let's just, you know, if they are doing the wrong thing out there, they're not going to get on the stand and tell the, you know, they're not going to say, yeah, I messed up. I knew I was violating this person's rights. They'll say things like, I thought he had a gun, or I thought he was about to attack my partner. They try to save their own bacon, but, you know, but they should not. I mean, they should look, I'm all for honest cops. You know, we have enough problems already doing this job. We don't need bad actors out there. And so if this person willfully violated this person's rights, and, you know, especially with the cover up, yeah, he deserves what he gets.
Yeah. I mean, no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop, right?
So I like that saying. It's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. I do want to, one little thing as an attorney that is involved in a lot of disciplinary cases, formally, you know, when it comes to expert witness stuff and so forth, I will say though that cops make a lot of mistakes. And I say the word mistake intentionally, you know, we're not talking about willfully violating people's rights. Chip, I think I can speak for you too. We have both made mistakes on the job. Oh. And so, but the one thing I have seen time and time again is that if you're transparent, you own up to it, you just acknowledge the mistake. I'm sorry. Look, let's say that this cop lost his temper and, you know, he pushed this guy on the ground when he wasn't supposed to. I'm not saying he's going to save his job, right? I don't know. I don't know how bad it is. I don't know what this history is and so forth. But I do know that cops that say, look, I'm sorry, I messed up, I'll get it fixed, you know, whatever it is, they have a better chance of getting through it. Maybe after some suspension, losing some stripes, whatever it is, maybe losing their job, but they don't go to prison.
Yeah, you can get away it sounds bad when I say it that way, but you can make a lot of mistakes. Look, there's a human factor in law enforcement.
Of course.
There's a human factor with everything.
And doctors.
Which means which means we make mistakes. But the difference between, look, I've always thought, in my opinion, the difference between the good guys and the bad guys is that the good guys, because everybody makes mistakes, the good guys, we learn from our mistakes and we change our behavior so that we try not to repeat the same mistake again. Now, I remember taking a bad, like, he was an extremely bad guy. He was a drunk guy, and I'd taken him to jail, and he had his hands handcuffed behind his back. And I remember being in the Sally Port, you know, up at the booking center, and this is the old Franklin Street Jail in Tampa. Races his leg up to kick me, or I can't remember. He kicked me once or was going to kick me. I did a leg sweep. I swept this leg out. Didn't think in advance that with his hands being handcuffed behind his back, he was going to fall and not be able to break his fall. Yep. So he falls backwards. His melon cracks on the concrete floor. Dude, I got to call fire rescue. I'm thinking the guy may be dead. I mean, mm-hmm. it was bad. And all these things are going through my head about, man, what have I done? But, you know, so even though I could arguably say I was justified in doing the leg sweep, in hindsight, I wouldn't have, you know, as an old drunk guy going to kick me, it's not going to be, you know, I could have handled it differently, but sure. I knew enough not to lie in the report about what happened, because that definitely is your job. And this is back before there was video everywhere, you know,
sure.
But, so yeah,
no, it's a good point. It's a great example. And, you know, and look, doctors through malpractice end up killing, you know, not murder, but 600,000 people a year or something crazy, right? Just malpractice. We all, you know, I mean, those are mistakes too. And nowhere near, anyway, you get the point.
I'm with you. Hey, time for our second commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, today's world protection goes beyond physical safety, and it's about safeguarding those on the front lines from hidden threats. Now, that's where MITEC, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MITEC provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Now, they're Eagle Protect Nitrile Gloves. They offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Now, it gets better, guys. Now, these nitrile gloves, four-hour protection for fentanyl and xylene, they give you peace of mind, high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. And look, when safety is non-negotiable, trust MITEC to deliver the protection that you need. You can get more information about how to equip your team today at ComplianTechnologies.com/MITEC. Again, ComplianTechnologies/MITEK, because, the best defense starts with the right protection. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. The pressure is on. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they get the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, Plainview and Plainfield, May the 21st. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. bluethegold.com, guys. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. So I know that you want to talk about Albuquerque, Anthony Bandero. And for people that are just joining the show, Leo Roundtable, law enforcement talk show, and we talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. We've got attorney Anthony Bandiero on the show today, the founder of Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. Are you ready to get to the to jump to Albuquerque, or anything else you want to talk about the previous topic, or
I think it's a great transition. Let's talk about Albuquerque.
All right, fantastic. So look, this story does have a video component. It's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And what I will tell you is that, well, the title is Man Fatally Shot by Albuquerque Police Officer When He Raises a Gun at an Officer During a Welfare Check. Every cop knows what a welfare check is. Civilians may not. We're going to educate you today. It's good stuff. Now look, the story has a video component. If you're listening audibly only, maybe your favorite radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But occasionally we cover a video that people feel like they absolutely have to see. If that's the case for anything we talk about, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day. It's called Leo Roundtable or Law Enforcement Talk Show. And you will have a special version of the live show that appears at 9 o'clock in the morning. And in that version, every video we talk about is actually inserted into the live show or the copy of the live show. Pictures of the good guys and the bad guys pop up as we're talking about them is a great way to watch the show. So again, on a Rumble channel, that gets released exactly at 9 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday. So you always have that option. So Albuquerque police, they shoot this guy during a welfare check.
Are you 10 Cook 4, state unit?
10 4, thank you.
Okay, what's your David, police department.
Hey, puppy.
Hi.
David, Albuquerque Police Department, make your presence known. We're here to help. You're not in trouble.
Sounds like he's coming out.
Hi, David. I'm Officer Jonathan Borrello. Hey, put the gun down. Put the gun down. Put it down, David.
TV, we have shots fired.
Back up.
Back up. Back up.
Don't just leave it.
I'll hold on this.
Cool.
Sergeant Maxine, I believe he's 10-4-3. If he's available,
he's coming out. Clear.
Clear, stepping out.
Here's how it goes down. So Albuquerque, New Mexico, February the 28th, we're in an apartment building, Albuquerque community safety personnel. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they do a welfare check on a guy named David McElvin. His supervisor at a local hospital had called 911 concerned that this guy was going to hurt himself. So Albuquerque police, they show up at his apartment, and McElvin, he does not answer the door, but it was unlocked, and officers enter in. So they open the door, enter in. It's a male officer and a female officer. The male is the lead. He's the guy that's, you know, taking most of the action, opening up the door and stuff, and now he's in the open doorway. Our bad guy, because he's non-compliant, McElvin appears holding a handgun and was told several times by our male officer to put it down. Instead, he points it at the officers, plural, and one of whom fired at McElvin three times. The guy dies at the scene. So that's what we have going down. And, I'm just looking here at my notes here to see if there's anything different. Unlocked door, they open it. The male officer does a really, really good job of verbalization on this, and the shots are fired. The male officer verbalizes seeing a gun at 41 seconds into the video. Female officer takes a position to cover. But he stays in the doorway and draws down on the guy. So he keeps the advantage of his position. But just 4 seconds later, at 45 seconds, that's when we have shots being fired. And then they also show up from the female officer's body cam video as well and what she saw. And we actually have a mag reload at 4:55, which was kind of nice. So Attorney Anthony Bandiero.
When I look at videos like this, I think of three things. I think about, and I break it up into three sections, right? Number one is criminal liability, civil liability, and best practices. Criminal liability, there's nothing criminal here. That's pretty easy. Civil liability, we had to have more facts, but you said, you know, that the hospital was expressing concern about his safety, that he may have been, you know, suicidal, right? And something and so forth. You know, you're at least probably going to get qualified immunity on this. Maybe the New Mexico is in the 10th Circuit. They can actually be kind of tough on some of these issues. They can actually be very tough on some of these issues. But civilly, you know, we're looking for clear violations of the Constitution. We don't know. I have to have more facts. But let's talk about best practices. When it comes to entering a home, right? So when the cop opened that door, now I don't think he actually crossed that threshold, but it was still a governmental entry. Okay, when you open a person's door, that is obviously an invasion, of somebody's liberty.
Yeah,
different definition. So don't cancel habeas corpus on these guys. So when we open the door, we're making an entry legally. So in order to make an entry into a home, the Supreme Court has said in a case called Coniglia versus Strom that we cannot do that just with the whole, we want to make sure he's okay. A lot of cops have called us welfare checks or community caretaking. We don't do that. We the Supreme Court is very clear that we need something that's called the emergency aid exception, which is objective facts that a current crisis exists right now, right? A current emergency exists right now. And we don't have enough facts to determine that. And Albuquerque, the A to the B to the Q, is a very, very good agency. Okay, I train there at least twice a year. I love Albuquerque. I really do. They're just a great agency. We don't have enough facts. So I presume just based on their culture there that they had more than what we just hear from here. But the point is they need I just don't want cops doing this and thinking, hey, I can open up doors or I can go into homes just because somebody called at the hospital. Hey, you should go check on Johnny. He was making some suicidal ideations and so forth. Just go make sure he's okay. Okay. At the same time, if I'm going to enter that home, I want fact here and now facts before I'm going to enter the home. The next thing, Chip, is a lot of major agencies are walking away, okay? Even if they have, man, you know, this guy said he's going to kill himself and so forth. If there's nobody in danger right now, okay, and he's not right. Coming to the door, and we can't smoke him out. We can't, you know, we've tried, we've knocked, we've been aggressive. Come on, we're here to help you. This cop did a very good job. You're not in trouble, which is excellent. But I can assure you that a lot of agencies like LAPD, LA Sheriffs, and so forth are not going to enter that home. They are simply going to pack up and leave. In fact, some agencies like LAPD, I believe, had door hangers. Hey, here's the 800 number for help, okay? And I got it. And this is what I teach. It's not worth it, okay? If they're going to, you know, if they're going to kill themselves, okay, it's sad. It's tragic. I hope we can prevent it if we can. But the reality is this, Chip, and this is, you know, this is empirical. So this is just my observations. This is not something that I've done studies on. But empirically, my observations is that out of 100 people who are contemplating suicide, one or two actually pull the trigger. Okay. Excuse the pun. out of those who are thinking about suicide and they have a cop pushing in, the suicide by cop issue is way more prevalent. It's like 2 to 3 more times that a use of force occurs in those situations, because it's a lot easier to have somebody shoot you than to actually shoot yourself. My point is this, okay? When cops push in without like here and now emergencies, and nobody's really in danger, they actually, unfortunately, contribute to a bad outcome. Does that make sense?
It does.
And whether or not do you agree? I mean, well, do you see that too sometimes? Like the whole suicide by cop issue sometimes can be avoided by just walking away?
We've changed we progressed. Not that we necessarily did things wrong, but we're remember I talked earlier about everybody makes mistakes, but some people learn, some people don't. So we have learned that if we force the issue, something bad's going to happen. And then we could go down the rabbit hole of officer created jeopardy, which the court started recognizing about 3 years ago. So yeah, it's arguably, if time is on your side, and that means if there's no threat to anyone inside that house, or you don't have a fear that this guy is going to leave and go shoot up the elementary school, you know, next door or whatever, then yeah, there's a better way to handle it. It's just the officer are just going to be just brutal. Because when you go in there and you're going to force your hand, someone's going to, you know,
Usually not going to be the cops that get hurt, you know. And that's a great point, Chip, is the whole, when I teach my de-escalation class, I teach that, you know, your sheriff will pay overtime for good tactics, because it's so worth it. Like rushing in, time and time again, we see cops rushing in and they produce bad outcomes. And bad outcomes doesn't mean illegal outcomes. It just means that it wasn't ideal, right? Lawful but avoidable. You ever heard that saying too? That's a Jim Glennon. But you know, I'm a big proponent. I'm a huge proponent in, lawful but avoidable, right? In other words, there's sometimes we just need to walk away, or we just need to slow it down, and a better outcome comes out.
So cops are, how do I say this and have people understand it? Sometimes cops are like pit bulls and we don't want to let go.
Lockjaw. You know? I call it lockjaw.
Yeah. You know, so Anthony knows what I'm talking about. So large in it. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. When I say large and in charge, we're used to solving problems. We solve marriage problems. I have divorced and married people on the street, if you know what I mean, Anthony.
That's all
Anthony,
that's awesome.
Talking
yeah.
about, you know, 100%. we solve the world's problems during a 8, 10, 12 hour shift. And we're really good at it. But that said, seeing a crisis situation, we just covered that, the glass, what was the guy's last name was Glass, the kid
glass
in
Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at that disaster, but we had multiple agencies. You didn't have a clear person from one agency in charge. You know, when you have multiple agencies, you know, responding, it's hard to have that one guy in charge that everybody's going to listen to. And you got a guy standing on the hood with a gun, and it was just, everything was done wrong. And they had the kid's car was like stuck in a ditch or whatever. He was going nowhere. They had so much time on their side, but we've learned from that. I totally agree with you, Anthony, on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Now look, I know we're about to go on our break, but, you say, hey, we've learned from that. Many cops that are paying attention and watching shows like this, or, you know, but a lot of cops haven't learned from it, or they're not wired correctly. And it's not, a lot of it's not their fault. They're very type A, or they have prior experiences where rushing in and taking care of business was the right thing to do. Think, you know, Iraq and so forth. But when you come on this side, slowing it down is actually a pro tip.
It's all about training. We can learn. Have good training. People like Anthony Bandero. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're listening to the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff or command staff, founder Dan O'Kelly's got a great deal for you. You can actually host a seminar at absolutely no cost to your agency. Fantastic opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. LeoRoundtable.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. For a radio audience, you know, when we were coming back from commercial break and you heard someone saying, "You're such a dummy, such a dummy," it was not attorney Anthony Bandiero calling me a dummy. We were talking about the dummy in a case that we were talking about on the commercial break. I just wanted to clear up the possibility of misunderstandings, Anthony. You understand I got to protect my image.
And I got to protect your image too. I mean, you know, I need you.
it's all good. But we were talking about a story with a welfare check and the officer, the door was unlocked, the guy didn't answer the door, and the story that we just covered, the officer opens up the door, he doesn't break the threshold of the door, but attorney Anthony Bandiero just explained that he doesn't really have to. It doesn't really change anything in the scenario. And the bad guy, and I'm calling this guy, even though he may have a mental condition or be suicidal or maybe suicide by cop or whatever, it doesn't matter. He was non-compliant, did not follow the orders of the law enforcement officer, which in my opinion makes him a bad guy, maybe at a lower level than a armed robber or homicide suspect, but still forced the cop. When he raised the gun to the cops, they had to neutralize him. Lethal force, the guy died.
Yeah. Yep. So yep. He's not doing things that are conducive to his safety.
Wow. I like the way you put that.
I know. Have your arguments in court. You know what I mean? If you don't like what the cops are doing, the mechanism is to hire a lawyer and sue and get paid. Buy a Mercedes, not to have this confrontation in the street, end up getting killed. It's absolutely asinine. I just can't believe it. You know?
Yeah. So people watching the show and people say, well, you know, they don't have the right to do this. They don't have the right to come into my house for welfare check. Cause I just cited another situation to Anthony that we covered a couple of weeks ago, or he's pulling me over. I don't have to ID myself. I don't have to get out of the car. I don't have to produce my driver's license. You know what? Like what Anthony just said, if you really think the cops are in the wrong, if it's a civil infraction, you report them to internal affairs. If you think it's criminal, report it to the state attorney or the DA's office and they'll take your action. But I'm telling you, you're not aware of all the information the cop knows. You don't know whether
Correct.
A vehicle that matches your description just robbed the bank, and he's pulling you over because he thinks you're an armed robbery suspect, or maybe you've grabbed a kid and you're a pedophile, kidnap, or false imprisonment, or whatever it could be. When I get pulled over, my hands are on the steering wheel. I'm doing everything that he tells me because I don't know. I don't have the benefit of knowing all the information, and I at least I'm smart enough to know that. So,
Chip, just real quick, I can prove that. Most of these people, I know my rights, this and that, you know, are actually wrong. Because number one is, just look at all these cases, these high profile cases where cops are allegedly did something wrong. Hell, we look at the videos like, it doesn't look good. You know, even like the one in Albuquerque, it's like, it looks kind of problematic. But then when you learn all the facts, the juries say what, right? If these go to jury, they say the cop did the right thing, right? We've seen a liability. Out of 1,000 of these cases where cops are on the, you know, being our defendants, out of 1,000 cases, only a handful, maybe a dozen, and maybe, you know, I'm just this again, empirical, maybe a dozen, the jury says the cop messed up, like your Tampa guy, you know, he's going to prison. The other 900 something are found to be not guilty or not liable or whatever. So reflection is what's called for here. And so the advice here is this, and if you're watching this channel and you're like, I don't like the cops, whatever, I get those people too. Fine. Tell the cop you don't agree with his behavior, but do it and have your day in court. And if you're right, you get a Mercedes.
Yeah. And you live for the, tell the story another day.
You live for another day because the cops are going to win those battles the vast majority of the time. They're not playing around.
I'm going to go the video four, if that's okay with you. I think it's going to be a better fit for you in your wheelhouse. Rumble.com. This is Butter again. Bridgeport police release body cam shows officer shooting and killing an armed man.
Nothing ends quick, and then we'll let you go. Sorry, 9-4 pursuit. Stop! I'm gonna tase you. Stop fucking running, yo!
Get us out for pursuit.
Take cool gas, no blast!
No, no, no! 32 shots fired.
I've been wanting to cover this. Bridgeport, Connecticut, Friday on a Friday morning, office released the preliminary status report of the investigation into the use of deadly force that resulted in the death of a 39-year-old named Deshaun Best. This was not his best day, though. I might throw that out.
It was
out
not his best day, but he had some cognac, but go on.
Oh, he did. He did have the cognac. You know, I saw the bottle, and I thought, is that cognac? I love cognac. But anyhow, we'll get to that. Bridgeport police, they respond to reports of a large fight, East Main Street, 5:50 p.m. And it's on a Monday, as people had gathered in connection with a funeral. Of course, you know, cognac funerals, don't need that go further, according to the Office of Inspector General. So the officers, they had information that someone in the black Chevy Tahoe in the area, that they had a gun, and they found the vehicle in a store parking lot. This is a perfect setup for what Anthony specializes in. Officer Aaron Perotto, this is a female officer. She opens the passenger door. Now the cop, there was a male cop dealing with the driver. Okay. And the driver was a male. And, so the female goes around to the passenger side and opens the door and tells Best, our bad guy passenger, that he's going to be patted down. Cause remember the call, firearm, you know, yada, yada on that call. He gets out of the Tahoe, and then he decides to run while holding a bottle of Remy Martin liquor in one hand. And now it's cognac. And and Officer Parada and Officer Yoon Hill, they end up chasing this guy, and then they end up chasing him all the way to a gas station. So Officer Ho deploys a stun gun, the male officer, and our bad guy continues to run, loses his shoes, though, as he's running through the gas station parking lot. And the chase continues around the corner, down the street, and into a driveway. Now, the bad guy, he had finally gotten rid of the bottle of liquor, but he didn't want to let go of that cognac, Anthony. And so at that point, he had another object in his right hand that looked like a gun as he was running up the driveway. The officer ended up firing his handgun two times, and he actually struck the bad guy. Police recovered a High Point compact 9mm handgun next to a spot where Best had actually fallen down before the shooting happened. He ended up dying, and he died from, it said, from a gunshot wound to the torso. That was what the medical examiner said. And, you know, anytime you start looking at ME reports, that should be a flag that wasn't a good day for the bad guy. So I'm curious to your breakdown of this one, Anthony.
A couple observations. Number one is, if you're going to be bougie and have some cognac, don't have a High Point. I mean, at least have a Six Sour, maybe a Glock and so forth. I'm just telling you, if your cognac comes in a plastic bottle, then you can have a High Point, but I digress. The second thing is, look.
Yeah, they're cheap guns.
Huh?
They're cheap guns.
I mean, it's an embarrassing. I mean, I think the High Points actually come with the serial number rubbed off, just to kind of get it warmed up for the.
When I was in the gun unit, we actually had a lot of those confiscated. There's a lot of bad guys carrying the stupid High Points, you know.
Of course, because it's $140. I mean, you know, I mean, that's all their stipend can afford. Yeah. The government has probably bought more High Points than civilians. All right, look, so. The thing I look at here, I'm just looking at through my lens, search and seizure. We have definitely reasonable suspicion that people in the car are armed and dangerous. We can pat people down. That's Terry versus Ohio. Some people may think, well, what about the passenger? Why aren't you just focusing on the driver? Well, we don't know who the bad guy is. We can pat down the driver. I'm sorry, the passengers. That's Arizona versus Johnson. We can also clear the car, you know, for weapons. That's Michigan versus Long. Everything that these cops did, everything that we know about this case is in their favor. There is no doubt. There is no ambiguity. They have a right to do what they did. Best, he caused a bad outcome for himself. At the most, he would have had, let's say, a gun charge. But he would have not, you know, he would not have been dead, and he would not have spent any really long time in prison most likely, right, if he had an unlawful carry and so forth. It's a reminder of complying with the police, even if you don't agree with it, is the best outcome for everybody, including the police, because they don't want to be involved in a situation either.
Yeah. You know, in reading my notes, I'm cracking up because the female officer, you know, she wasn't really prepared for the guy to do the run. And so
I did notice that. Yeah. She pooped out.
He's got a cognac in one hand and his cell phone in the other. And she's screaming. She was very good at screaming, but he's running in slow motion. It's one of these guys that did not have as fast twitch muscle fibers. You know, he had slow twitch. He could not run. His sprint speed was like a walk for most people.
I agree. I actually looked at him and I said, even with Chip's knee injury, Chip could probably beat this guy.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. With
your wheelchair, even you with your wheelchair could probably beat this guy. He wasn't the fastest guy in the world. And you're right. I'm not a cop anymore, so I don't have to be a quick runner. But if I was a cop, I would have a moral, ethical, professional duty to stay in shape.
Right. So I'm saying, and I had a bonus here. I said, bonus available if you can tell me how many male officers passed the female officer during the foot chase before she actually ended up giving up. Which is true.
I thought it was four, but how many was it?
I
thought four. Would you count?
I'm gonna leave you hanging. We'll let our studio audience participate. Okay.
I'm sure I'm off here.
You're pretty close. Hey, okay. Another fantastic show. Attorney Anthony Bandiero, Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. Don't go anywhere, guys. It's been a good show. We're gonna be talking about the Wound of Blue, but another great show. Thank you guys so much. And you know, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wound of Blue at thewoundofblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that are helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special Guitars for Cops going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars4cops.com. You know, Randy is actually at Police Week right now in Washington, D.C., and he's living the dream. He's like, he's a walking celeb. I mean, people are like, everywhere he goes, I doubt he's paying for food or drinks anywhere he goes for the entire week. He's just, you know, he's going to be in heaven. But the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, guys. Anthony Bandiero, at bluethegold.com. You're doing God's work, so please keep that up as well. Thank you so much for being on the show. I also want to give a shout out again to our sponsors, guys. Please support them. We have Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, also TampaFP.com, FormerLawman.com, LawOfficer.com. Thanks for your support, guys. We look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.